This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia, with a report for the fishing I expect we'll find in the month of May for both the mountain trout and also the smallmouth bass. Let's look at our mountain trout fishing first. Our water level is excellent. The temperature is excellent. It's dropped a little bit since this time last summer, last week, but the we're getting great fishing. I am tapering down to 6X. Now, some of our most prevalent insects now are the little yellow stonefly, and I'm matching that with Murray's little yellow stonefly in a size 16. The natural stoneflies, the nymph of the stonefly, develop along the back eddies where they're piled up leaves, slow current, and along the mossy rocks in the midstream below the water level. So when I'm fishing up a stream, I use my little yellow stonefly and drift it along the edges of these places, along the edges of the boulder and along those back eddies. And it's usually very productive. Sometimes you'll see rising fish in there, and sometimes I just cover the water with it. But either way, it's very productive. Now, the light Cahill is on most of this month. This is an unusual heavy hatch this year. I've already been seeing quite a few of them, and they start emerging pretty heavily by the middle of the day, and the spinners come back about dusk. The flies I use to match this are the light Cahill dry in a 16 and the Murray's Yellow Drake in dry in a 16 and a 16. But this is a good hatch. Now, I have a real close angling friend who always fished this hatch with a Mr. Rapidan brown soft tackle size 16. Even when the duns were on the water, even when the duns were hatching, John would use the underwater fly on a 6X leader, and he caught more fish than the rest of us. So I think he knew what he was doing. Now, the last half of May, we get our sulfur hatch. Starts pretty heavily, coming around the middle of the day, and it's on all the way until evening. The spinner fall and even a lot of the duns are coming off when it's almost dark in the evening. So the one rule of thumb I have when I'm thinking about fishing the sulfur, that's Amarillo Dorothea. When I'm fishing the sulfur hatch, I want to stay on the stream right until dark. Id shank sulfur in a dry in a 16 is good. The Murray sulfur dry in a 16 is good. But this is a very heavy hatch on many of our streams, and the trout come up real well to both the dun and the spinner. And once they get going, I'll probably just put that the Murray sulfur dry on there and just cover the water, even if I don't even see them rising. The upper reaches of the stream tend to have the heavier hatch on this. Coming in off the Skyland Drive, the Blue Ridge Parkway, I usually find the heavier hatches up the top. In fact, the water temperature and the water levels we have now, this would be a great time to go in up the top and camp the fish of those streams. Now, sulfur, the smallmouth bass. What we're getting right now, a lot of the bass are feeding heavily on the helgramite. That's the larva of the Dobson fly. It's really what most people would call a nymph. But the when I first tried to develop the helgramite pattern, I wasn't at all satisfied with the rigid surfboard-like patterns we had. I even had Dan Bailey's girls tie up some they used to call the mossback, and they were beautiful flies, but they were rigid and they didn't really produce well. So when I was a kid, I used to seine them. So what I did to try to see how the natural helgramite act in the water, I started turning rocks up, pick them up, picked up the natural helgramite, drop them in the stream to see how they react. Well, as soon as I started watching them, I saw why the patterns we'd had previously in our helgramite patterns weren't catching fish. The natural helgramite, I took it off the bottom of the stream, off the rock, the bottom of the stream, drop it in there, and I'd watch it go downstream. That guy can swim just about as well as a minnow. Now, what he does, he angles downstream. He's swimming downstream, wiggling in a very pronounced undulating type motion as he swims to the bottom of the stream. So this showed me what I need to try to incorporate in the fly I was trying to use, and also how to fish it. Now, I use this technique a lot with the beginners in my fly fishing schools that we have here on the river. Wade into the side of the river, right below where the riffle dumps into the main part of the pool. We cast a Murray's Heavy Helgramite, about a size 4, cast it across stream about 40 feet, let it sink down real deeply, and then strip it back very, very slowly, about a 6-inch strip, every 6 seconds or something like that. I want to crawl that thing right across the stream bottom. Now, by going across stream like that, naturally the current's going to pivot it downstream. Have a nice tight line for it. You can feel that strike right away. The beginners can feel it, detect the strike, and hook the bass. It's an easy ploy, and it is very effective. Now, as the student can make a little bit longer and a little bit longer cast, from that same spot where I've got him standing below the riffle, I've made him, after he's done that 30-foot cast, I'll let him cast out maybe about 5 or 10 feet further. Still use that same technique, just strip it across the bottom, strip it across the bottom. After I've had him casting as far as he's comfortable, we'll wade downstream at 10-foot intervals and then repeat that technique. And that is very, very effective. And even the beginners catch them because you can feel that bass hit that helgramite. You're tight to it. You can hook it. Now, there's a little different technique that I teach in some of the riffles that have deep pockets in them. Some of the heavy riffles, especially on the North Fork, close to Edinburgh here, there are some pockets in these riffles that'll be 4 to 5 feet deep. Well, that's a perfect home for the helgramite. The cobblestone bottom along the stream is perfect habitat for the helgramite. So I experiment with the black and the olive and the brown to see what's going to happen. But where I've got those real deep pockets, I cast upstream with a short cast, 20-foot cast. I'm going to get up, I'm going to be wading upstream, working back and forth across that riffle, so I don't need long cast. I'm going to get up there anyway. About a 20-foot cast upstream, let that thing sink down to the bottom, get tight to it with my line hand. I'm using my 9-foot 2X bright butt leader. It's got SA indicators on there. And with a tight line on that helgramite, I'm letting it drift back. That SA indicator slows down even a hint. I set the hook real quickly. And this will get you into some big, big bass in those deep pockets. Actually, I learned this technique on the Yellowstone River from a boy named Ray Hurley and both from Charlie Waterman on the Yellowstone River down around Livingston, catching big browns and big rainbows in those heavy riffles. But it's an upstream dead drift that you're just picking those pockets. You're thinking there's a bass in each pocket and you're fishing each pocket. But this technique will really get you into a lot of big bass in those heavy riffles. But the helgramite right now is going to be awfully hard to beat. If you have any questions on any of this, just give me a call, 540-984-4212. This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia.